what kind of led to this, there's a good book on the curse, the word curse. And here's a book on problem of curse in the Hebrew Bible. Very interesting, done in the 1960s. But to understand the blessing, you have to understand the curse and vice versa. And so blessing is the Hebrew word barak, number 1288. It's a verb. And it means to endue with power for success, prosperity, longevity. It's really, when we look at that, we're going to see Yahweh blessing. And really, it's an invisible force that is manifested in the prosperity that comes from a person's life. So how do you know Yahweh's blessed somebody? I don't see anything coming down, but I can, if we're going to look in the Word, we can look at the success in people's lives that people will say, Yahweh has blessed you. Why? The manifestations of success, prosperity, longevity. So we're going to begin kind of with Isaac. And Isaac is the son of Abraham. Or Abram. So we're going to go to Genesis 25:11 and see the benefit of having somebody in your family who has obeyed and pleased Yahweh. That blessing can be continued upon you, that power force, and it really is a force. And we're going to look at a curse too. A curse is not something that a witch does, where it puts you into a spell. It's not a spell either, because that really has no power. Somebody's word does not have any power. And so you have to look at a curse as a blessing, as an invisible manifestation, and we're going to see many times, and the curse is a withholding of blessings. And then you're going to see, hey, it hadn't rained here for a year, 2 years. Well, because you are not blessed, and the rain has been withheld. But we go to Genesis 25:11. I think, can we turn off your fan, the heater, because it's going to be on a microphone the whole time. I thought I could hear something. Thank you. Yeah, that would just be a humming though through the whole teaching. 25:11.
And it came to pass after the death of Abraham, that
Elohim blessed Isaac his son, and Isaac dwelled by Berlaha Rao. Now we go to 26.
Verse 26.
Chapter 26. We're going to read 1 through 5. And there came to be a famine besides the first famine. And one other thing, too, is interesting, because we're going to see a blessing is rain and prosperity. But even then, Abraham went through two famines and had to go south to Egypt or to other people. And so there was still famines. And so by being blessed does not mean that you won't have any adversity come into your life. And that's the illustration. And Isaac went through a famine too, even though he was blessed by Yahweh. And there came to a famine in the land beside the first famine, which happened in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went his way unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, towards Gerar. And Yahweh appeared to him and said, do not go down towards Egypt. Make thy habitation in the land which I may name unto thee. Sojourn in this land, that I may be with thee and bless thee. There it is, barak thee. For to thee and to thy seed will I give all these lands. That is the manifestation of the barak, the blessing. So will I establish the oath which I swear to Abraham thy father, and will multiply thy seed. There we go again. A manifestation of the barak, as the stars of the heaven, and will give to thy seed all these lands. That is the blessing. the manifestation of the blessing from Yahweh. The power force is coming from Yahweh. And all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves in thy seed. Wow. Because if you're a very successful person and Yahweh has poured out blessings upon you, then obviously the merchants around you are going to receive part of that blessing, because I'm going to buy things, I'm going to spend things, and I'm going to spend that money around you, and they're going to receive some of the blessing. 5, because of Abraham, hearken unto, why is he being blessed? Because Abraham hearkened or obeyed unto my voice, and so kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Wow. We've gone over that before. 26:12. Excuse me.
What's my water?
And Isaac sowed in that land and found in the same year what?
A hundredfold.
A hundredfold. Seeing that Yahweh had what?
Blessed him.
Blessed him. So the man waxed great and went on and on waxing great. So this is the manifestation of the blessing. Until that he had waxed exceedingly. It's not just great. You know, waxed great. No, we're going to put exceedingly great in front of that. So he came to have possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a large body of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Now we go to 26:29. And Abimelech came unto him from Gerar, which Ahithia, his friend, and Phicol, commander of his host. And Isaiah said unto them, wherefore have you come unto me, seeing that you hated me? Why did they hate him? Because he was blessed.
Yeah,
he was blessed.
Said
and so
envy.
Many times, people hate people who are blessed and sent me away from you. And they said, we saw the manifestation of the blessing. We saw plainly that Yahweh was with thee. So we said, this guy is powerful with the Creator. We need to make an oath with him. Let there be, we pray thee, an oath betwixt us both. Why? Because we're binding into this blessing. And the opposite of an oath, many times, of a breaking of an oath, is a curse. So we're going to find out there's one particular Hebrew word that's translated 14 times oath and the other 18 times curse. It's the same word, same noun. And you're like, well, how could that be, earth and coast? Because with any oath between people, if it's not fulfilled, what happens? There's a breaking of that oath. And there, you know, so when, if I go into the court of the United States and they say, put your hand on the Bible and say, you know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God? And I say, I do. I just entered an oath. What is the consequences of breaking that oath in the United States courts?
Well,
it's called perjury.
Yeah.
And it's called a felony, and you go to jail. So that would be why the curse is part of the oath. You keep the oath, there's no problem. It's if you break the oath, we got a problem. Because that, many times that's why the word can be translated either way. But as we're going to find out, many times a curse is associated with oath and covenant. And curse, because they're all agreements. And whenever time you make an agreement, if you break that agreement, there's ramifications. There's things that happened. There's just not words. There's consequences to these, and it went into an oath. But we saw that. Let me see. Let there be, we pray thee, an oath betwixt us both, between us and thee, and let us solemnize a covenant with thee. They want part of this action, that we saw Yahweh is with you, and we want him not to be mad at us. Because we're going to see with Abraham, he will say, blessing I will bless you, and those who don't like you, cursing I will curse them. That thou wilt not do wrong by us, according as we touched touch not thee, and according as we did by thee, nothing but good, and then sent thee away in peace. Thee who now are blessed by Yahweh. So we're saying, I don't think we even realize that today. We're so foreign on oaths and covenants and blessings and curses in our particular society because people's words generally mean nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a real sad situation. They make marriage covenants, break them in 6 months. And so their words, they swear to things that they have no intention of keeping. There's no... they're not solemn at all. But we're going to see these guys are in on that. And we see on that word, oath, that's one of the Hebrew words. There's really three prominent Hebrew words translated curse. And that's why it's a little bit difficult. That's why you have this book, and there's three other minor ones that are on that. So you really got six different Hebrew words that are translated curse. You have to say, well, they can't all mean the same thing. You just have one word for that. No, it's not. And so on oath here is Allah, it's number 423. And to really be able to see it, I guess I will look at it. We might have to do this in two parts, so it must be covered. But if you look at, we go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 12 through 21, we're going to see it in action.
Hold on.
Allah, A-L-A.
Deuteronomy what?
Deuteronomy 29, 12 Verse 21. Rotherham, this word is used 5 times in his verses. Rotherham and Young's are always going to translate it oath. The NIV and King James are going to translate it 3 times curse and 2 times oath. It's the same Hebrew word. And it's not a verb, it's an oath. And so I'm going to read it. You read it, you know, you're going to see it in there, Rotherham. And I'm going to read it from the King James. And then you're going to see the distinction that they're going to make on this. Same word. So when you hear the word curse, it's the same word Allah. When you hear the word oath, it's the same word Allah. It's the same word.
A-L-A?
A-L-A.
What?
2 syllables. A-L-A. That you may enter into a covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today. That he may establish you today as a people for himself, that he may be God to you just as he has spoken to you, and just as he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I made this covenant and this oath, not with you alone. See how covenant is intertwined with oath?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to also see with curse. But with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For ye know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations with you passed by. And you saw their abomination and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribes whose heart turns away today from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of these nations. That they may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. So that it may not happen when he hears the word of this curse, see the word curse? That's mm-hmm. curse, that he blesses, that's the word Allah, and he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I will have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be acute with the sober. The Lord will not spare him, for the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man, and every curse, that's Allah, that is written in this book will settle on him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under the heaven. And the Lord will separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses, that's Allah, of the covenant that are written in the book of the law.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference, but it's the same word. So the curse is a little difficult to be able to handle in this particular teaching. The blessing is very simple, which we're going to see. Barah is very simple. And covenant is a barith. And that's very simple, too. We all know what a covenant is. And that's Strong's number 1285. Allah is Strong number 423. Now we're going to go to Barak. And that is the blessing. And it starts off in Genesis 1. verse 21. And we see Genesis 1 through 3, blessing and cursing in three chapters. Very important part of our Father's Word. And so here's the first usage, and the first usage is always very important in Yahweh's word of Barak. And Elohim, verse 21, and Elohim created the great sea monsters and every living soul that moveth, with which the water swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good, and Elohim blessed them, the animals, baraked them, saying, here is the manifestation of a blessing. Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply in the land. The manifestation of the blessing is propagation. And in order to propagate, you have to have nutrition, and you have to have the resources and the weather, and you got to be disease-free to propagate. So this is all manifestations of, in order to multiply, I've got to be have food, nutrition, all these things with me. Weather. That's the first usage. The second usage is 27 and 28 with man. Adam, the word man is translated here as Adam. And Adam is Adam, but Adam is male or female. So when you say son of man, it's Ben Adam. Ben is son. And Adam, man. So man or woman is Adam. So we are not, Homo sapiens. We are Adams. Male and female are Adam. Now, it can be used as a person's name, as Adam or Adam. But it can, as we can see, as for male and female, they're called Adams. Now, 27. Wait a minute, did I say 27, yeah. And Elohim created the Adam in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he what? Yeah. Them. They're Adams. This is the actual creation. Male and female are like twins. One is not superior to the other. Now, everybody's got chapter 2. Coming from the woman coming, the wife coming from the rib is the woman being like a pet to the man. He was lonely, so I gave him a pet. The wife. No, that's marriage. Chapter 2 is marriage. Chapter 1 is creation. Is creation.
Twin.
And Elohim blessed them, brought them, and Elohim said to them, just like the animals, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So here is the manifestations of a blessing, all this power, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the heavens, and over every living thing that moved on the land. So we're going to see the manifestations of Barak. Now we go to, these are defining Barak, the word. Chapter 2, verse 3, the third usage. And Elohim blessed the seventh day, Barak the seventh day, and hallowed it.
Exactly.
Because therein rested he from all his work which Elohim by creating had made. We had another course on that altogether on the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath is not a part of Hebrew law. It was not part of the Old Covenant, where Moses came down from the mound. You know what the fourth commandment was? Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. That means to cease to work. He didn't say, I'm going to create something that's called a Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't part of Mosaic law. It's a part of mankind's civilization. And so all of us should rest and have family members or people work for you at least one per day. In the United States, we've got two
one
days.
One per week.
Or one per week. In the United States, we've got two, so it's an important time to rest. That's beside the subject, but there's a third usage. Now we're going to go into the curse. And the curse results in not obeying commandments, oaths, and covenants. It's real simple. And I think most parents can say the same thing. If their child does not do what they're supposed to do, or if they're in rebellion, you do not reward them. All right? And so you can say there's a curse? Yeah, because you're not going to get this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's it. Am I going to bless you? No, I'm not going to bless you. Am I going to kill you? No, I'm not going to kill you. But you're going to find out you're out of fellowship. You're out of alignment with our institution. And so we're going to go to the curse is right here. Now, this is a different word. And the first word was Allah, which we're really not going to cover. It's oath or curse. This one is Arar. A-R-A-R. So A hyphen R-A-R. So think of it. Arar. It's number 779. And it's in Genesis 3:14. And we know when they broke... So I think of the command that Yahweh... Well, let's just read 2 verse 15. So Yahweh Elohim took the Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim laid what?
Command.
A suggestion?
No.
What do you lay, Wendy?
I can't hear.
Command. He laid command on the Adam, saying, so you want to look at the consequences, and wait a minute, blessing is hooked to obedience, and cursing is hooked to disobedience. Yes, there we go. We did a little crowd participation here. And Yahweh laid command on the Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt go to hell.
No.
No, it doesn't say that, does it? Thou shalt die, or dying, in Hebrew it's dying, thou shalt die. The word muth, M-U-T-H, is used twice in that verse. Naturally, they put the word shall in front of it to make it emphatic. And we know what the story was. And so here's what happens with the serpent. And let's examine this curse. So that is 3:14. Then said Yahweh Elohim unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, accursed. That is the word arer. Accursed art thou. Now we're going to see the man and woman are not cursed individually. What's around them is going to be cursed. But this entity is going to be cursed directly. Accursed art thou above every tame beast and above every wild beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And enmity will I put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. First usage of the word arer is the cursed entity is the adversary. Now the second usage is 17. And the Adam, he said, and to the Adam, he said, that might be Ishiach. And so sometimes man and woman will translate Ish and Ishiach. And so man is the husband, and Ishiach is the wife. Ishiach. But I think it's still Adam here. And to the Adam, he said, because thou didst hearken to the voice of thy wife, very good lesson here. And so didst eat of the tree as to which I what commanded thee. There's our covenant, our oath. You have broken what we established. I said, don't do this. You did it. Saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Accursed are you. No, it doesn't say accursed are you. What does it say?
Cursed be the ground.
Oh, okay. Accursed be the ground for thy sake. Oh,
that's interesting.
The ground is cursed. Okay. look at the three curses we're going to see. The woman is not cursed. The serpent is cursed. And with Adam and Eve, the ground is cursed. And what are the manifestations to understand? What is this word, a rare mean? Well, here's the manifestation of it. This defines it. In pain shall thou eat of it. In all the days of thy life, thorns also and thistles shall I shew forth to thee, when thou hast come to eat of the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. You know, so sad, because look at the consequences. He could have the tree of life and been blessed, age abiding, and be, you know, or, but he took the curse instead of the blessing. Until thou return to the ground. That wasn't Yahweh's intention, to return to the ground.
And it wasn't return to the ground, it wasn't going to hell.
Yeah, it's not going to hell, because thou did eat until thou return, till I go to hell. Because therefore was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Mm. Now, the third usage is with a guy named Cain who murdered his brother. Now, let's see how Yahweh uses this word here. The third usage, chapter 4, verse 10. And Yahweh said, what hast thou done? That's a rhetorical question, because obviously Yahweh knew what he did. With a voice, this is so powerful, with a voice, the shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the ground, which was already cursed through Adam and Eve's disobedience. And then, now therefore, accursed, what? Art thou from the ground. So you almost have a double, which murder is very big. From the ground, which hath opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Though thou till the ground, it shall not go on to give us vigor to thee. So now we've got a curse upon a curse. The curse of thistles and stuff is on. But now it's not even going to give the vigor to thee. A wanderer and a fugitive shall thou be in the earth. And so what you're going to do is be getting probably natural grubs and roots and everything else, because you're probably not, don't have the ability to grow crops. And this is what he gave, actually. His offering was garden stuff, while Abel's was sheep. So he was a farmer. But now all of a sudden it says here, if you're a farmer, you don't wander, do you? You stay on your field. You know, who wanders is somebody who does not farm. And a fugitive. Now we go back to the blessing. Bara. Go to Genesis 9, verse 1. How far I've gone. I might do this in two parts. Verse 1, and Elohim bara Noah and his sons and said to them, the manifestations of the blessing, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and let the fear of you and the dread of you, this is a great part of the blessing, I'm going to instill in animals a power that you have power over these animals.
Yeah, because the word is terror.
Yeah. Her dread of you be upon every living creature of the earth, that's part of the blessing, and upon every bird of the heavens, and over everything that moves along on the ground, and over all the fish of the sea, into your hands have they been given. Now that's a power. So think of it, the blessing is actually a divine power that has been given to me over Yahweh's creation. And as for every moving thing that hath life, yours shall be for food, like the green herb have I given it to you, all things. That's Noah. Abraham, chapter 12, verse 1-3. And Yahweh said unto Abram, remember Abram, A-B is the word for father. So anytime a word says Abraham, it's not Abraham, it's Abram. Well, this is Auburn, not Abraham. So he's just Auburn right here, and that is a father. The word is father. And Yahweh said unto Abram, come thou on thy way. And this is obedience. And so what I'm going to do, you're going to do what Yahweh says, and he's going to bless you. There's a condition on being blessed. Come thou on thy way, out of thy land, and out of the place of thy birth, and out of the house of thy father, unto the land that I will show thee, that I may make thee into a great nation, and do what? Barak thee, and make great thy name, and become thou a baraking, that I may bless them who bless thee, but him who maketh light of thee will I what?
Curse.
So shall be blessed in thee all the families of the ground, because that power force that's going to be on you is going to be, you know, I would just say it, going to be filtered through the population around you because of you. That's Abram. Now we go to Sarai, Genesis 17. Great history of blessing. 17, verse 15 and 16. And Elihu said to Abraham, now he has been given a title, the father of a multitude. As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarah. Sarai, but Sarah is her name. And I will barak her, yea, moreover, will give from her to thee a son. This is the manifestation of the power. And I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people from her shall arise. That's a pretty good blessing. In order to have that, all that generation from Isaac on has to be protected also. Otherwise, you're not going to have kings of people if Isaac gets killed right off the bat.
Yeah.
And so that blessing, or the Barak, is also protection from the enemy. And we go to Ishmael, verse 20, the same chapter. So Yahweh said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah, because it hath become great. Let me see here. Yeah.
Verse 20, you said?
Wait a minute here. Where am I? Oh, I'm at 18. I'm sorry. I should be... I was on 17. Oh, yeah, verse 20 of 17. I got on to 18. Yet as for Ishmael, people will say that was a mistake that Sarai gave her maiden to Abraham. Guess what? Abraham, Yahweh never told Abraham it was a mistake. Actually, Abraham names the child. Yahweh names the child and blesses Barak, this supposedly mistake. No, it was not a mistake. Or Yahweh would have sent a messenger, somebody to tell them, don't do this. But that's beside the point. Yet as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Lo, God, just because of Abraham, all these things are happening. So look what can happen with one parent obeying Yahweh, the outflowing of Barah to the people in association with that individual. Let me start over. Yet as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Lo, I have blessed him, Barak him, and will make him fruitful and multiply him, what? Exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will grant him to be a great nation. But my covenant, which I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to thee by him, by this at time in the next year. That is Ishmael. I'm going to look at Abraham again, 22. Chapter 22, verse 15 through 18. Then called out the messenger of Yahweh unto Abraham. Now this is, he's offering Isaac. Yeah, so much obedience to be so well pleasing to the Creator is, man, you just hit the jackpot. You didn't. you know, Yahweh tells us to do things that are very hard. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Okay. You had such an opportunity to hit a jackpot. Because if you would have obeyed Yahweh in these situations, look what's going to happen to Abraham. Excuse me. 15. Then called out the messenger of Yahweh unto Abraham a second time out of the heavens, and said, By myself have I sworn in the is the oracle of Yahweh, because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thy only son. What are we withholding from Yahweh? That I will what? Richly brought you. And abundantly. You know, so now we've got adjectives upon adjectives. Abundantly multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the lip of the sea, that thy seed may take possession of the gate of his foes. Wow, look at that. So shall all the nations of the earth barak themselves in thy seed, because why? Because thou didst hearken or obey unto my voice. Wow, think of that, man. That's our lessons. And we get to Isaac, which we already read in 25, how he was barak because of Abraham, his father, and he obviously obeyed too. Jacob, Genesis 30:30, or Jacob.
Genesis what?
30:30. Let me see, is that right? Where am I? 30. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is, yeah, Isaac. Let's go in verse 29. Context. You know, Laban was his father-in-law.
33:29.
No, 30, verse, chapter 30, verse 29. And this is Laban. I'm sorry, who we're talking about. And this is about Jacob or Jacob. And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle have fared with me. For it was little that thou hast before I came, and then it break forth into a multitude. Why? Because the blessing, the barak that was on him from Yahweh, and Yahweh blessed thee at my every step. Now therefore, where am I, or when am I also to do something for my own house? For you saw the blessing on Jacob. Now we're going to look at Joseph, 39. And he's in Potiphar's house right now. He's been sold into slavery. But we're going to see the invisible hand of Yahweh on people's lives to say, you're brought. Now you're blessed. Verse 2 through 6.
39:2.
Yeah, 39:2-6. And it came to pass that Yahweh was with Joseph, so that he became what?
A prosperous
man. So the manifestation of this invisible divine force is prosperity. Mm-hmm. And was in the house of his Lord the Egyptian. And his Lord saw that Yahweh was with him. How do you see that he was with him?
By the prosperity. Blinded.
How do you know Yahweh is with him?
Prosperity.
Yeah, man, this guy's jackpot. He goes out there and sells things, and he gets the highest price. He plants things, and he gets out more from the deal. And everybody else got diseased crops. Ours aren't diseased. And you're like, man, this is a great. And this... His Lord saw that Yahweh was with him, and that whatsoever he was doing, Yahweh was causing to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his eyes, and waited upon him, and made him overseer over his house, and called, and all that he had gave he unto his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that Yahweh barak the house of the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. Yet it came to pass that the blessing of Yahweh was with all that he had in the house and in the field, so that he left all that he had in the hands of Joseph, and took note with him nothing, save only the bread which he himself was eating. And so it was that Joseph was comely in form and comely in countenance or face. So anytime you see the word countenance in his face, the Hebrew word it's param. Now we go to 39 when he's in prison. 21 and 23. And it came to pass that Yahweh is with Joseph. Here we are again. And so whatever situation you're in, Yahweh can prosper you in every dark situation he's in. He's sold into slavery. That's bad by his brothers. And now he's lied to by Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar, by the way, might have been a eunuch. And that's the word in here is eunuch for Potiphar. While his wife was going after Joseph. Then all of a sudden, now he's put in prison. God, this bleak. I mean, this is really going downhill fast. But look at this. And it came to pass that Yahweh was with Joseph. Where? In the dungeon. And extended unto him chesed, and gave him his favor in the eyes of the chief of the prison. So you can do that with your employer, or governors, or anybody else. They can have that chesed poured out upon you, and they go, something about this guy. I want to hire him. So the chief of the prison delivered up under Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, and of all they were doing there, he was the doer. After nothing was the chief of the prison looking of whatever was in his hand, and that Yahweh was with him, and whatsoever he was doing, Yahweh was causing to prosper. Yeah. And that should be our lives and all of our situations. I think I'll stop there and do the cursing that's in the New Covenant in Galatians. And that the law, the curse of the law, to understand what we're actually talking about. That we're no longer under the curse of the law because Christ came and cursed for us. That's Galatians 3. But we're going to have to understand this. Because in the same book it talks about being accursed in Galatians. But we have to remember, bara is divine favor. That means weather, animals, people, food, health, enemies, protection. It doesn't mean you don't have any adversaries. Because we actually see with Abraham, and Isaac, they went through famines. Mm-hmm. You know? But Yahweh prospered them wherever they went.
Joseph got thrown in jail.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to hear from Father. Okay. I'll give a prophecy. And we'll see part two at another time on the curse. Well, people are going to love that. I want to hear about the blessing. Curse? No.
I don't want to hear about that.
And the curse never has to be upon any of our lives if we're what?
Obedient.
How simple is that? Obey. Well, Yahweh, we thank you for your wonderful word in directing us that we don't have to make the mistakes that other people have made. So we thank you for these words. Thank you, Christ, for pouring out Ruach HaKodesh and saving us, enabling us to receive Ruach HaKodesh, which is Holy Spirit. Peace be still and know that I abide in peace and sanctity of life. You must also abide in peace and be in harmony with my word in your thoughts, in your mannerism, and in your vocabulary. So at all times, comfort and seek my words, my guidance, and I will direct your footsteps. And when you err, know that you, as you come back to me, the sooner the better. Amen. See you next week.